We'll talk about it.
3, 2, 1. Good morning, Magic 100 listeners, and anybody else that's tuned in online on the internet, interwebs, as we call them. This is Will Davis with the Monroe County Reporter, joined by Don Daniel, founder and columnist of the On the Outside Looking In. I am on the porch, and gentlemen,
this morning the show is going. We're broadcasting from Virus Central.
Yeah, this is your special Corona edition of the Reporter Podcast. Don and I are both wearing masks, so it may be hard to hear us. We're talking through four-ply masks that we've got. We're both wearing hazmat suits, and it's a little uncomfortable.
I forgot to wear my hazmat suit.
It's a little uncomfortable, but we're making it. And Don, we're living through, we're in the middle now of the fog of war, they call it. When there's a panic going on, and you almost can't figure out what's going on.
You and I were talking before we started the show, and you made a very good comment. We are in a state of panic, and what happens when we're in a state of panic?
We don't think clearly.
We don't think clearly. You know, I think we become impulsive. I think we grasp at straws.
We don't reason.
We don't stop and ask ourselves, what are we doing? I honestly don't mind living out in the middle of the country and having a driveway that's almost a half a mile. And, you know, what do you call that? What am I doing to myself?
Quarantined.
I'm quarantined.
Self-isolation.
Yeah, but what?
It's kind of redundant, isn't it? Self-isolation. Yeah. It's kind of redundant.
Yeah, it really is. But you know, I've got Tull and Rose, and they don't like wearing them damn masks.
But the other thing, they don't. Labs are very vulnerable to corona.
Every time I get a corona out of the refrigerator, they want some. Yeah. But what's getting me is, you know, I have to get rubber gloves. I have to get 8 pairs of rubber gloves.
I can hear people right now. This is serious. People are dying.
Oh, hell yeah, it's serious. Yeah. Why do you think I'm wearing a mask? Why do you think I'm sitting 6 feet away from Will? I go to the grocery store and I want to put a paper bag over my head.
You just have to laugh now. I think I'll do that.
I'm going to get a paper bag and cut holes in it and go to the grocery store.
Okay, that's a good idea. Yeah. Well, it's a crazy time, and it's, I don't know. I have made my beliefs and my thoughts well known, and it has cost me greatly with social ostracization that I am a believer in.
And
that
people have been criticizing you?
Yes.
Why are they criticizing you?
They don't like my ideas that we need to open the economy back up and get back to work because they think people will die. But people are dying, and we've got it shut down. So I say, why not at least... It's a bad virus, but let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater.
I agree with you 100%. Let's take a real good example of something. What's Queen Elizabeth's husband's name?
The son.
No, not the son.
She's a widow, I believe.
No, he ain't dead yet.
He ain't dead yet?
No, her
Prince
son.
Prince Charles. He tested
positive, and he's in total isolation at a place in Scotland.
I have a feeling he'll be well taken care of.
Oh hell yeah!
You think he's got a ventilator?
Oh my gosh! Let me go on where I'm talking about. You know, that is a very classic example of somebody that was not around anybody and got it.
Oh really? He was isolated.
He was. All of a sudden, you know.
I figured that the royal family is always with other people. You know, they can't get away from it. It's like the burden that they care.
Well, okay. They're around other people. And when you go to the Queenie's house, I bet you, it's pretty doggone well sterilized. You know, anyway, what my point is, you know, I don't think we know yet. We say this virus came from China, but the root of the thing is what caused this virus.
Oh, you want to go there?
Yeah, we do know. Tell me.
The wet markets.
The what?
The wet markets.
What's the wet market?
In this area of China, they have what is called wet markets and where they sell exotic animals. And they believe that there are certain Chinese religious beliefs that believe that if you eat bat or squid or odd animals, that it can give you special healing powers. And so they have been eating bat. Have you ever had a bat? It's kind of tastes like chicken.
I've never had a bat.
Yeah, they eat bats in China. You know what I did
one time? A bat got in my house, and he went up to the eaves of the kitchen. And I got my shotgun and shot it inside the house.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, but all this came from this exotic food in China.
That's where they say this whole thing started. And, you know, we just need to sit down and have a talk with the Chinese and say, you know, you guys have destroyed a lot of businesses.
Quit eating and killed bats.
Can you knock off the bats? You know, 6 months. Try a 6-month fast of bot bats. I think it would be good for public health to stop eating bats for a few months.
I think so, too. I agree with that. You know, this thing, again, what I have never been aware of, and you just gave me an indication, it came out of China. But, you know, I go back. You know, I think the way I relate this thing is very simple. Is I relate it to the polio scare that I went through. And back then, there was just about the same panic.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you know, Jonas Salk said, shut up and eat this sugar cube. You know, and it worked. But you know, why? You got to answer this question. It's right here on your front page. You know, we've got a coronavirus village now in Monroe County at the training center. Why? How many trailers they got out there?
20. I bet you could get a pretty good deal on them when they're done with this whole thing, you know? Go to the state and say, I'll give you $10,000 for a Corona trailer.
You can get cheaper than that. You know, FEMA had these trailers.
Oh, I remember this for the hurricane, for Katrina.
No, this, they had them stockpiled. You could buy a double wide, you know, not a double wide, a mobile home. You could buy it for half a penny on the dollar. They had 100,000 mobile homes spread out at depot at different places all over the United States.
Did you buy one?
No, I was ineligible. I would have bought one.
That would have been insider trading since you were a FEMA.
But anyway, you know, you've got a great story, but why was Forsyth chosen for these virus trailers? What's going to happen when they get through? I know what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. I know. Listen to me. It just hit me.
We're not 6 feet apart.
I'm back.
Sorry. Okay. We're now properly distanced. Sorry about that, folks.
I tell you what. I wonder if Forsyth Police Chief is out there measuring the distance between cars.
Yeah. Well, they've already got the rulers for the grass. You know.
We got rulers. I still think you ought to come up with this ruler provided to you in cooperation with the Forsyth Police. All right, let me tell you what's going to happen with these trailers. Would you buy one of these virus trailers?
Well, you know, only 19 of them hadn't been used yet, so they would be.
Answer my question. Would you buy a trailer that had a virus?
No.
All right. Let me tell you something. The Georgia Public Safety Training Center also trains firefighters.
Yeah.
And they have a great firefighting out there. So are they going to burn these trailers, incinerate them?
So they can practice hosing them down?
Yeah.
Probably so. Seems like a good solution.
So how much do these trailers cost us? And here we go.
I think a trailer's usually, $20,000,
$25,000? I don't know.
Yeah.
Forsyth was chosen to...
I think because the state owns a lot of property here, and we're in the middle of everywhere, as our chamber says, we're in the middle of everywhere. So I guess that's why we got the lucky draw. And now, so the front page says, Don, we report that we have our first patient at the virus village, but guess what?
What?
He gone home.
He didn't stay there, but what?
3 days, 3 nights.
Why did they let him go?
He was good. He was all healthy. See, apparently this is where they're going to bring folks. If the hospital's full and these folks test positive for the coronavirus and they're getting better, they're on the mend, and this is like a halfway house before they can go home because they're still contagious. They still need to be quarantined, and maybe they have a home environment where they can't be quarantined at home. So this is where they go. And I guess 3 days, after 3 days there, his 14 days quarantine was up, maybe.
And they said,
okay, hit the road. But my question is this, after he leaves, do they go into that trailer with like wet wipes and just wipe it all down really good?
No, I just told you what they're going to do.
Yeah, but
they're going to take them all over to the firefighter building and burn them.
But
you'll bet on that.
But they want to reuse these things.
You want to let's bet
well, we
on
can't
it?
Shake. We can't shake on it.
Okay, yes, we can. Hey, here we go. All right.
Yeah, but anyway, here's
what's going to happen.
Here's the rest of the story. You know there are dorms at Gypsy.
Yes, sir.
How many rooms are there? Do you remember?
I think there's 120, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, they've doubled that. Apparently, there's 240. So maybe they're putting two people in a room. I don't know. But that's going to be a place. They're now, the state, the governor's announced, they're going to put healthcare workers who were exposed to the virus. You know, they were around people
right.
with corona, but they have not tested positive. But they've just were exposed. Because sometimes, you know, it can be dormant. Like you can't have any, you don't have any symptoms. It seems like you're good, but they just want to keep you separated from the general population.
It's crazy, Will.
So. But are you fearful? Do you object to us bringing corona people to Gypstick, or do you think it's a good place to do it?
I honestly, I don't have any emotions either which way or for.
Yeah.
You know, because there's nothing that I can do about it to control it.
Well, that's true for all of this, isn't it?
Well, 99%, you know. But again, this is what I don't understand. That village had to be in the planning stages a long time ago.
Well, it was pour a pad.
Oh, that like I said, they had to plan to pour the pad.
Yeah.
They had to hook up sewage. They had to hook up water. Have the water. So, you know, you don't do that overnight. So when was that done? Was that on? And you did the story. Was this on the directions of Governor Kemp?
I believe so, but I'm sure it was talking with his officials and saying, okay,
why didn't they have to get county approval for that? Because it's state property?
I guess so. It's their emergency. That's what these emergency declarations allow these governments to just bypass any of the hoops you have to jump
through. Yeah, that's true.
Another related story, Don, is we had a truck driver that went to our Five Below distribution center.
That blew my mind.
And so he goes in there and he drops off his load. And on his way, he tells one of the receiving ladies there at Five Below, he says, man, I have had these symptoms of fever, and I've had this dry cough. I just don't feel good. And she said, oh, really? And he said, yeah. You know, 3 weeks ago, I went to Florida, and ever since then, I think I've just felt like I've had the coronavirus. Well, oh, you know what that did to the plant, the total panic. And so... So the sheriff's office took this pretty seriously, and they now are going to issue warrants against the driver, Daryl C. of Forsyth, for terroristic threats, they're saying. So
you think he did it on purpose?
You know, the sheriff's office seems to believe that he just made it up. Now, to me, it shouldn't be illegal. If it was true, I don't see how that would be a violation.
I agree with you 100%.
But if it's not true, then I think they have a good case. So he's not turned himself in yet. But you know, we want to salute our truck drivers. Boy, they're kind of the front lines of this thing. They're getting that toilet paper delivered to all these stores. And Diane, will you help a customer? And then, you know, but anyway, they have since pretty much shut half the Five Below place. Pretty much halfway shut down. Yeah, not just because of this, but just because of the virus. So, you know, it's just sad to see so many things idle. Because you know...
Well, you're leading right into my next story.
As a former business owner yourself, you understand that when things are idle, there's no revenue coming in, and small businesses are not sitting on...
And you have no other choice. You don't have any choice.
Yeah.
You don't have any choice.
It's not like there's customers out there you can go get. They're not out there. There's no customers in the market.
Because they've been told not to get here.
Yeah.
But so that leads to the other story, is you also have on the front page a story of what's open and what's not.
And some of these have changed since we went to publication. For instance, the Whistle Stop down in Juliet, they are now shuttered until further notice.
Oh, man.
So we can't go get our, what do they call it, the rooster? We can't go get a rooster today.
That's right. Well, you know, you know what just amazes me is you've got what's closed and what's open, limited, And then you've got the drive-thrus, but full service. That's the one that sort of rocked my boat. Is why are they full service?
Well, I think El Tejado is going to take out. I think they're going to take out. I don't know about the others.
Can you walk in Dairy Queen?
I think you can. As of the other day, we'll have to check on that. So do you have a problem? Do you think these people should be barred from?
Huh? Dairy Queen's closed.
Oh, Dairy Queen.
Hey, we just got a hot notice.
We just got hot word from Diane Glavel, our ace reporter, that the Dairy Queen is now closed to dine-in traffic. Now, the city does have our local city and county both declared emergencies, and they no longer allow gatherings, public gatherings of more than 10 people. So for these businesses, even if their dining room is open, they can't have more
than... So I guess what I'm trying to ask you and try to find is where you're going to take me to lunch today. You
know, well, let me tell you the choices. Well, I don't know. Yeah, maybe no. They can't. We may have to get it to go.
There's only five left now
that are open. Mm-hmm. Okay, Dan Glavel says there are five that are still open. Elta,
Georgia Bob's, two waffle houses,
Shoney's,
La Pasadita, and Big Chick.
Okay,
that's the only ones that are open now.
And I'm going to recommend, you know. Don, you and I last week went to El Tejado and ate outside, which I feel real safe outside. Outside, hey, sunlight's the best distance.
I don't care where you feel safe or whatever. If the virus gets you, it's going to get you.
That's right. And for 95% of you who get the virus, you're going to be fine. You're going to have a bad cold.
You're right.
And, you know, if you're vulnerable.
So where are you going to take me to lunch today?
Well, I guess we could go.
You don't particularly care for Big Chick, do you?
Yeah, I like Big Chick. I think La Pasadita is good, and we could eat outside there. But anyway, we'll talk about that.
We
could get a Jonas Pizza and go sit outside, probably.
What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go. They got drive through, so this is sort of the funny. I'm gonna go drive through, get my order, and just stay at the drive through window.
Eat it while you're in park.
Eat while I'm parking. Yeah, but you know, if we're trying to do anything with this newspaper or with this radio show, we're trying to do one simple thing, is try to keep y'all from panicking, because we've got enough panic that we don't need to worry about other people's panic. We need to think about us.
Amen.
And I'm just being real serious about it. And there are things that, hey, if you want to do it, do it.
I mentioned that I haven't shaken a hand in a month. Was that off the air when I said that? And you know, I avoid large. There are no large public gatherings. I think Forsyth and Monroe County have done a good job. I did hear there was one report of a large crowd playing basketball out at what they call Top Court. You ever heard of Top Court?
Yes, sure have.
But that was the only, and those are young people, and so maybe not as vulnerable, but. Don't touch other people. Don't exchange handshakes. Don't wipe your face.
Don't go smoochy.
Hey, I wore some surgical gloves delivering newspapers yesterday, so your newspaper should be totally disinfected. But there's things we can do, and we can be reasonable and open businesses back up.
Well, because ladies and gentlemen out there, you know, it just blew my mind. Is the first thing that happened when they started talking about this panic. Was what happened at the grocery store. You know, it's just...
The hoarding, the toilet paper buying. We had our first unemployment announcement from the government since this whole thing started, and 3.3 million people lost their jobs, which is four times the greatest ever from 1982, formal record.
Now, did they lose their job?
They filed for claims. They said, hey, I don't have a job anymore. I need money.
Okay. Here's my question. All right. You tell your employees that, hey, we're not going to be open today because of this coronavirus. We're shutting down. Now, do you say to them, when this is solved, resolved, we're going to put you back to work?
Yeah, and that will happen in some cases. But, Don, there's a lot of businesses that, not a lot, but there are some businesses that cannot just, a business is not like a switch that you can just flip off and flip back on. You know, businesses are almost compared to a human body. They're moving, living things.
I agree with
you. And when you cut off the blood flow of revenue to a business, starve that body, and it's hard to just, and the body goes into.
I'm going to go back to my original question. Listen to me. If you let your employees off and say, okay, when this is resolved, I want you to come back to work. Does that mean, that doesn't mean you're fired. That means you're basically laid off.
Right.
So why does that affect the unemployment figure? Because, yes, these people are unemployed, but they're not fired.
Well.
Am I making sense?
Yeah, but, I mean, our government does not differentiate. If you no longer have a paycheck coming, then you're considered you've lost a job. Yeah, you know, and they may be rehired, and some of them will be if we can ever get this thing back going again. But my point has been, as the president has said, that hey, our cure does not need to be worse than the disease. The disease is the virus.
I agree.
We have 1,000 people that have died of this virus in this country. Most of them elderly. Not that we don't mourn their deaths. They're sad. We don't want anybody to die. But 1,000 people in a country of 350 million people, and yet we have shut down our economy and now have 3.3 million people who no longer have jobs, can no longer feed their families, no longer have the dignity of going to work. Well, do you get the check for the full amount of your pay, or do you get a check for a partial amount?
A tiny partial.
Yeah. So I just think it's a catastrophe all the way around. And look, we can't do anything about the virus. It came from China. It was. We've tried to respond as best we can.
I agree.
But we can do something about how we respond, and we have responded in abject panic, fear. Our public officials bought into a couple of models. You know, everybody loves these computer models. The global warming crowd loves their computer models, and they can tell you with absolute certainty that that the oceans will rise 58 feet this year because of global warming. Well, they told us. The Imperial College study out of London, they told us that, 500,000 Englishmen would die from this virus. And they are now already, the ones who purported that and now have already recanted and said, you know what, our models were not true. It looks like at the most we'll have a couple thousand die in London. It looks like our hospitals will be able to handle the load.
Hey, by the way, you said hospital. What about our local hospital?
Well, there are no visitors. They're on shutdown.
Do we have any patients in?
They have a full patient count, but not. They're not all. You know, they're not. I don't think they have any corona patients at the time. They send any corona patients. They send them to Macon, I think, and you know the hospitals are taxed. That is, they are.
It goes. Back
but that's. But you know what? I went to the hospital. I went to Navison a few weeks ago to see a friend. And there were people in the hallways then, and
that's right.
Had nowhere to go. So this is nothing new. We have ebbs and flows of health problems, and I am absolutely horrified at what our country has done in response to this virus.
I am too, Will.
Total suicidal panic, and people have no jobs.
I wonder. You brought out a point. I wonder. How the suicide rate is, I'm sure it's climbing like crazy.
Can you imagine the fear and panic if you couldn't provide for your family because of this overreaction?
Whether you got the disease or not.
Right.
But anyway.
And I have to commend our city council has met on this issue. You'll read more on this in the paper, but they have generally not overreacted. We got a customer. Diane, could you help a customer? And they have generally been modest in their response time. They have not imposed a formal curfew. They have made it voluntary. They're asking people to stay indoors from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m.
But
it's not see
what happens. What happens? Stop. We're telling these people to stay at home, to quarantine. Have we reached the point? Is that if I come out of my house and drive to Forsyth, can I get, I guess for lack of a better word, can I get arrested for breaking a curfew?
No, because like I said, ours is a voluntary curfew.
All right, but I'm talking about in where it's not voluntary.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are some.
This ain't right.
Well, yeah. Every blue state or blue city, Los Angeles, New York, they've all gone head over heel. You know, Democrats and liberals love to exercise their power. And they love to take us. Barack Obama said, or no, it was Rahm Emanuel, his chief of staff said, never let a crisis go to waste. And what That's they right. mean by that is public officials take advantage of fear in the citizenry. So they take advantage by imposing draconian measures, putting people basically in house arrest.
That's what we are.
When there's been no scientific evidence that this quarantine actually helps with viruses, I mean, well, this is like the Middle Ages, you know, because people are fearful and they say, well, just stay in your house. Well, there's no scientific evidence that this is a great bomb. This is a healing power against viruses.
I think it's all transmitted by, what's this yellow stuff that comes out of trees?
Snot.
Huh?
Fluid. No, droplets.
No, what? Turn, like my, I used to have a black Honda. And I've got a yellow Honda.
Oh,
the pollen. Well, I think it's transmitted. I think it's transmitted by pollen.
Well, then we're in deep trouble.
You know, Will has really given you an insight, and I agree. I think our local county government has done the right thing. But let me tell you another little thing, citizens out there, listen to this. You know, I've said this many, many times before. When we don't govern ourselves, we become governed.
That's true.
You know, and when we don't do what we're supposed to do, then we're going to be punished for it. Yeah, that's so folks, just remember, use common sense. You know, they've given us guidelines. And those guidelines have been given to us for one very simple reason, for us to protect ourselves. And, you know, that's what I got to say about it, Will.
Well, I agree with you, and I hope if there's one thing I can tell you, listeners, it is, be cautious, wash your hands a lot,
Amen.
Don't touch your face, but do not panic, folks.
Please.
God is in total control. It's Sunday morning. Let's remind ourselves of the truth of God's word, that God is in total control. God is good. God loves you. And anything that happens is going to be by His care and through His loving hand. So, folks, life is a gift. Every day is a gift. And we have got to get away from the panic that is crippling our nation.
Just remember now, the city and the county have barred public gatherings of 10 or more people.
Right, which does not include that's public gatherings. So I guess in your home, technically, we would discourage you from having big gatherings in your home. We don't want to spread it, but that would be legal. But a public gathering would be at a park with a family reunion at a church. Because let's be honest, this thing has gotten bad. Where it's gotten bad in Albany, Georgia, came at a gathering of a large number of people at a funeral where the pastor had it. And so we just got to be cautious. But what I worry about, Don.
Tell me.
They say this thing may be a seasonal thing. It may come back in the winter. Are we going to shut down our country?
Hopefully by then. We're going, just like when the polio scare in the 50s, it was scary. As I stated earlier, Jonas Salk came up with the thing. And everybody got a sugar cube.
Yeah.
So I think when this gets to the point that it is manageable, when I say manageable, is it going to be manageable by taking some medicine that's going to prevent it? And I think that's what they're working on. From what I've seen now,
yeah.
You know, they're working well, quite crazy.
Another good piece of good news is that this hydroxychloroquine, if you take it with a Z-Pak, it has shown terrific results, and I'm told reliably by friends at the Navison Hospital in Macon that corona patients there are receiving that cocktail.
Good.
And the unbelievable thing, Don, again, we talk about panic and we talk about liberals. The governor of Nevada has barred the use of this drug.
I don't even want you to talk about
that. Unless you're in the hospital, and it just galls me. Because
it's
one
disgusting.
One moron in Arizona drank his fish tank cleaner because it had something called quinine in it, and he thought that was the so folks.
And they both died. According, and so the governor says, "Okay, I don't like Trump.
Amen. That's exactly what happened.
Ladies and gentlemen,
if we seem filled with righteous indignation, it's because we are. But thanks to you, you're here to hear us. You're here to spread the good news and spread
the
truth.
Read the paper.
Read the reporter and have a good week, everybody.
Bye.